now onto the eviction ban. It's the day after the announcement was made, and in a not so dramatic turn of events, leaders' questions today got a bit heated between Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. What started out as criticism for the opposition on yesterday's lifting of the ban on evictions soon turned into a right old political row.
It's not about one versus the other. As I said earlier, you're trying to create a divisive and false narrative that it's landlords versus renters, renters versus landlords.
Jesus,
renters
Mary
need landlords,
Joseph.
Landlords need renters. I've answered the deputy's question.
Can Carla, we're back.
Sinn Féin are back to their old ways again. When you ask them about their finances, you get a deafening silence. They run a hide. And then when you actually try to answer their questions, and I did try to answer their questions, they try to shout you down. What sort
Does
of party
is that? Does no one shout you down, Leo? Relax.
Wait, sorry.
Louise Byrne, relax. Always a good way to get people to relax, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't exactly think it was relaxing after that. I think Labour leader Ivana Batic called it unedifying afterwards. I don't think she was too far wrong. So this was, like you said, Mary Lou MacDonald. She wasn't in the door yesterday when the eviction ban was announced, but she was back in today and she was all gung-ho with the Taoiseach. Now, the Taoiseach was out early this morning and he was saying that this, he kind of felt like landlords and renters were being pitted against each other. And what he was saying is that one can't really exist without the other, that landlords have been demonised, and that has led to landlords leaving the market and a rise in rents and a drop in rental properties. So I say Mary Lou MacDonald had read this before going into leadership questions and knew exactly what he was going to say in response. But I think what she was asking was, you know, where are these people who could be facing eviction next month? Where are they going to go? The Taoiseach repeated kind of things that the government are going to be bringing in, but then it very quickly turned to criticism from the opposition benches. Not just Sinn Féin, it has to be said. There was kind of people interjecting from all cohorts. I think a lot of the Labour crew were actually coming in as well. Then very quickly the Taoiseach turned it on Sinn Féin. He was saying, like you heard, you don't discuss your finances, you don't like when we speak about the North, but this is what you're doing up the North. So it just turned into a row about everything but the eviction ban.
All right. Something that is going to get nobody to relax is figures that were given to the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party this evening. Run us through some of those, Louise, before we go to the panel.
Yeah, so the Taoiseach was briefing his party in Leinster House this evening and he told his Fine Gael colleagues that he believes there is a deficit of roughly 250,000 homes in the country. That's a quarter of a million. He said it will take a long time to close the gap, but he believes the corner can be turned this year. And he said there needs to be at least 40,000 homes built every year. Now, he said that the government is ramping up under the Housing for All plan, but the target this year, I might be wrong, but I think it's just short of 29,000, so it's not the 40,000 that the Taoiseach is saying. And if we're being honest, the 40,000 homes that they're saying, that's not going to be towards the end of the decade. So I think really stark figures tonight, and 250,000 homes is going to take a long time to build up.
All right, we have a deficit, Regina Doherty, of 250,000 homes in the country, which makes the question all the more pertinent. People who are affected by the eviction ban, when it lapses in April, where are they going to go?
So I'll say two things regarding the two different kind of aspects to your question. First of all, I think we have managed as a political system, and I don't blame any particular party, but we've managed as a political system to demonise landlords in this country over the last number of years for whatever reason. I don't know whether people want to pit it between landlord and tenant. I don't know what benefit that is. But what I do know is that because we've demonised landlords as a business, a lot of our landlords are leaving the business. The rental eviction ban over the last couple of months, the no-fault eviction ban, was a temporary measure. And if we didn't extend it, well, then we would have been extending it to the end of the year to a winter period. And it wouldn't be a temporary measure. It would be a long-term measure.
All right,
what we do know is that what it's done is that it hasn't halted the rise of people coming into homelessness. And what it's done is reduce the amount of rental properties that we have.
But has it caused people going into homelessness?
Not necessarily, right? But what we have done is that it's because of the way we've either depicted, or maybe through the financial tax system, treated landlords, we've encouraged or discouraged them from staying. So in my mind, what we need to do is to first of all ensure that anybody that potentially will be evicted over the coming months has an option to buy the house through the local authority system. We have a first refusal system that's going to be brought into play. We also have 1,500 homes allocated finances on the tenant in situ scheme.
They can have an option to buy a house, But the landlord will also, the owner of the house, will have the option of selling it on the open market.
So that's exactly what happens with local authorities right now, Colin.
To the highest bidder.
But that's exactly what happens with the local authorities.
I know, but why
right
announce
now?
It as a new policy?
So it's not necessary.
What does first refusal mean if it gets into a bidding war?
So first refusal will mean that if you are a tenant in a house and I'm a landlord and comes and tell you I'm selling up, I have to give you first refusal to buy the house. That's exactly what it means. The tenants in situ is entirely different. It is on the open market, and it's exactly what local
authorities
are doing.
But first refusal on the advertised asking price is meaningless if it goes into a bidding war.
If we pass a policy and bring in legislation that tenants in situ that are liable and viable for HAP or local authority housing have a first refusal on a house, well then they will have first refusal on a house. That isn't the case with the tenant in situ. The local authority has to bid on the open market and compete with anybody and everybody.
All right,
they bought some 500 houses last year under that.
But if they could afford to buy a house, they wouldn't be renting. So how is that going to help the vast majority of people?
Sorry, there's lots of people that can't afford to buy a house that are being supported by the state through HAP and RAS. They will continue to be supported by the state through these schemes, through the local authorities, first refusal and tenant in situ. But the real rub of this problem is, first of all, we need more landlords. Discourage them to stay in the market is not working. We need to financially encourage them. And obviously we need to build more houses.
Verona Murphy, what do you make of this lifting of the eviction ban? And what do you make of the arguments that are made as to why landlords are leaving the market?
And recently I've made these comments a number of times. The eviction ban is as a result of the failure of this government and previous, probably over the past 10 years, to deliver a housing supply. In relation to the continuation of the eviction ban, it is not up to private landlords to be responsible for homelessness. And the reality is, I hear what Regina is saying, but that is not what's happening in practice. We have councils who are going and inspecting the houses that they're being proposed to buy, and they're turning it down. We have engineers who are saying, no, not buying that house, simply because there's something to be done with it. The people are
That's
living
not the
in the
reality
property.
Of what's
that
happening.
Is the reality.
No,
sorry, two people in my office today, I've had two cases where the houses aren't being purchased. The house is being sold. Tenants can't buy it. They will be homeless. They're being told to declare homeless to Extra County Council. And the reality is this, there is nowhere for them to go.
Okay.
We're being told to go. They'll go to emergency services. There are none. We are full to capacity.
Richard Boyd Barrett.
Well, look, I mean, first of all, I think we have to get on an emergency war footing. And the government have been unwilling to do that because they'd have to acknowledge just what a mess the situation is, how bad it is. And the state has to marshal all of its resources and be willing to take extraordinary measures if we're going to address this situation and stop what is a catastrophe getting a hell of a lot worse. Now, I personally, I mean, there's all this false narrative, in my opinion, that, you know, the opposition are demonising landlords. We haven't been. What we've been saying very consistently, in my case, since I got into the Dáil in 2011, is the private market is not capable of solving the housing crisis. It is not capable of delivering on scale the housing we need at a price that ordinary working people can afford. Until we get that into our head, we are going nowhere. Because even the stuff that is being built, and this was also, by the way, true during the Celtic Tiger, it's the reason the economy collapsed more than a decade ago, because then we were producing 90,000 houses a year and they were still unaffordable, no matter how much the supply was, because it was private for profit developers building.
You want to see housing as a utility rather than an investment.
Absolutely.
Commodity.
Absolutely. And therefore, the state has to marshal, and we haven't got endless labour capacity at the moment. If construction workers who are in short supply are building apartment blocks that are then going to be bought by asset management companies, and they're going to charge rents of 2,500 and 3,000 euro a month and more, that's not going to solve the housing crisis.
All right.
The state has to build the houses on scale.
Okay. And within the very short term window that's required in order to, say, keep the existing supply stable before you get to where you want to go with it, what would have been the desirable measure to keep some of these private landlords in the market? Or do you agree that or do you think that that's desirable at all?
Number one, and we've been saying this for ages, and we brought a bill for a few weeks ago, don't let people be evicted if there is nowhere else for them to go and they have done nothing wrong, right? So that's, the government's decision is outrageous, right? Number one, that's That's what you do. And by the way, more generally, we move towards the European model where landlords cannot evict people on grounds of sale. If they want to sell, fine, but they sell with tenant in situ. That is the normal situation in the rest of Europe. And I don't see why it shouldn't be that situation. But on the purchase, if I can just make the point, because we've been arguing for the purchase in situ, but the problem is that the government are saying we will let the local authorities a bit of discretion to do this. In reality, the local authorities are not doing it. In my area, there's been two purchases in situ. The government needs to instruct them
discretion.
To do it.
Okay. And I think if I could just say, the reality of what has happened here is we've had an eviction ban for no-fault evictions for months, in which case no policy, no process has changed to develop housing and deliver housing. But the other thing is, there's something fundamentally wrong when someone who has been an exemplary tenant with no faults can be evicted tomorrow, but someone who hasn't paid their rent for 12 months can go through the RTB process and still be in situ 3 years later. That's why landlords are leaving the market.
Okay, well, we have
a defunct rental tenancy.
I just want to go to some of the texters who are in here. Colm, it's very unfair the way the media and the political class have demonised and scapegoated private landlords for failure of successive governments to tackle the housing issue. Well, let's hear from a landlord who was on Liveline earlier, a short clip of them, and we give that perspective then in that case.
The costs have gone up so much and you can't react to your baseline cost. It's going to eat away whatever capital you have. And if you don't have any capital, you're in big trouble.
I bought my house, paid a mortgage on it. We've had lovely tenants over the last 20 odd years. The previous one stayed for 14 years until last year. Mm-hmm. And now we've lovely new tenants in. But I've given them the notice, Joe, because it's my pension. And I just can't get over the fact that we're suddenly public property. We're being vilified. Landlord is not a four-letter word, Joe.
And that was some of the landlords calling into Joe Duffy earlier. Regina Doherty, we've heard from the Taoiseach this figure of over 40,000 landlords leaving the market, and the term recently was used. Now, the sourcing of this figure seems to be from the Private Rented Tenancies Board, and it relates to 43,600 landlords who left the market in the 5 years between 2016 and 2021, at a time when the eviction ban didn't even apply. So there's 40,000 odd landlords who've left for entirely different reasons than the eviction ban. So why is that figure being used to justify lifting it?
So I don't. Well, first of all, I don't think it's the reason that we are justifying lifting it. I think the last couple of months has shown us that, first of all, it isn't stopping people from entering homelessness. And what it's doing is it is encouraging people. It's only one part of it, though. It's encouraging
people. We're down to the old statistical thing of what's correlation and what's causation. So people are going into homelessness at the same time as this eviction ban is in place. But that isn't the same as the eviction ban causing those people to go into homelessness.
No, I don't think anybody has said the eviction ban has caused people to go into homelessness. In actual fact, what it was brought in for on a temporary basis was to stop people from going into homelessness.
And 2,700 people, according to the housing minister, were prevented from going into homelessness.
What it's doing, Colm, is it's actually causing people who are providing that service, that landlord service, that rental service, to leave the market. Now, there are other reasons why people are leaving the market, and the Taoiseach has said this on a number of occasions. People leave the country to go to Australia, go to America. When they come back, some 30,000 people come back every year. Some of them own houses that are being rented out. What we're saying, though, is that they are entitled to, at some point, I mean, a ban, a temporary ban over the winter, absolutely fine. But you can't say in perpetuity that I'm sorry you're not getting your house back. So we have to allow people to have the freedom of property rights, but whilst at
but
the same time...
You couldn't offer incentives
for them to stay.
Right, but why not put those incentives in place if you went down the road of what landlords wanted or what people have been calling for, that capital gains tax was applied instead of income tax to their rental income? There's a 20% pay boost for landlords that could have been trialled prior to this, but there seems to be, is it a block against introducing an emergency budget to do that?
Well, I don't think we need to introduce an emergency budget, but what we certainly do need to do is to signal to the market.
Why not?
It's that
not
something will be brought in September in the budget, and it will be retrospective for the whole year, the same way as we did with the rent tax credits last year.
But the big question is how much higher is the homelessness figure going to go between now and the budget in September, October? Like, we have seen it increase month on month, and I think the government have said, you know, the eviction ban didn't have the impact that they wanted to have on homelessness figures. What would the homelessness figures be now if that rent ban wasn't in place? They'd probably be far and beyond what they are now. And the Taoiseach and Minister O'Brien have both said that people are going to become homeless because of this over the next couple of months. So how bad do things have to get before the government interjects.
So we've already interjected in a number of fashions, but with regard to actually incentivising landlords to stay in the marketplace, the announcements were made by Dara O'Brien yesterday. We've signalled that we're going to do something around the tax on top of the mortgage interest relief and on top of... Yeah, but it'll be retrospective for the year. Landlords don't make their tax returns until the end of the year. But most importantly, we don't have the new people coming into the market to be landlords that we would have seen
okay,
here
but
before.
I suppose
so
the question
we
is...
encourage people that this is a viable business having them demonised day in, day out on our media and by our politicians.
The narrative and demonisation was started by government in
it
order.
Wasn't.
That was exactly the reality of why you brought in eviction.
What demonisation, Regina? What exactly are you talking
about? So all you have
about?
To do is to look over the last number of years of what the narrative around the types of people that we would consider landlords to be. The insinuation is they're a particular type of kind of vulture person.
By whom?
That's not true. By plenty of politicians. By media, by the narratives on social media.
The term vulture fund relates specifically to investment funds
does,
that come to
yes.
the country at a time where assets are in a distress
does, but I think,
and
Colin,
they buy
to be
them
fair,
up.
To be fair, and the narrative today on the radio programme at lunchtime is very clear to see. People in that market feel like they are being vilified for being a particular type of industry.
Large investment funds have
I'm not
pretty
talking,
thick skins.
Sorry, that's not who we're talking about right now. The people who are leaving the market are not large investment funds.
They're accidental people.
They're people who have houses for
but
their
who,
pensions.
Who is vilifying them?
Yeah, who's delivering
the if you look at the NESC report,
all you have to do is look at leaders' questions any day of the week and you'll see exactly who's vilifying the landlords of this country, accidental or otherwise.
One voice at a time, Richard Boyd Barrett.
Okay, the landlords that we have been vilifying are the vulture funds and the asset management companies, right, who are coming in and they are speculating on land and property values. That's what they're doing. And by the way, that's not me saying it. But it's not the small landlord, it's not the people who phoned in.
Which are issued okay? 6%
the
of the market.
The government produced their own report, the economic evaluation report, which was produced during the summer. And it said very clearly that these big asset management companies were speculating on land values. They were getting planning permissions, tens of thousands of planning permissions, and then flipping property in order to drive up the value of their assets, speculating on land values, sitting on empty property, which could be used to be rented out to people because it was more profitable
All right.
than to
it's
sit
a
on.
Dublin
that sort of behavior,
problem.
That sort of behavior has to be stamped out. But instead... If we got the report during the week, Dara O'Brien was lobbied by these people to lift the eviction ban. That's what actually happened, right? He's dancing to their tune.
That's not true.
He is essentially arguing they are going to help us solve.
I'll come back to you, Verona Murphy. Regina,
can I just respond to the speculation that Richard has spoken about? And he is correct. They're in business, whatever kind of business it is, people are in the business of making money. They have, but they've all got egg in their face now. They've got planning permissions for one or two bedroom apartments nobody wants to buy or nobody can afford to buy. So, you know, there's ups and downs to this. What we need to see is a rational plan that we have in building Ireland for all, insofar as that we have social houses targets, we have private targets, we have cost rental targets, we have all kinds of housing our targets for our students,
targets
for apartments, targets for bungalows, targets for...
I am really glad to hear Regina say that we now have one and two bedroom departments that nobody can afford to buy. I have been saying for 3 years that the density policy of this government in housing density has caused part of this problem. Densities that are not viable to build. Richard's talking about a Dublin city-centric problem. We don't have cuckoo funds in Wexford.
No.
What we don't want are apartments that are 3 and 4 stories high that nobody wants, and all they will end up as are ghettos, because the only people who can afford them are the county councils and the housing bodies, and we'll have no private rental in them. We'll have social housing where we know the track record of county councils is not to maintain estates, and we go back to the good old days.
Regina
has made a very valid point that we now have 1 and 2 bedroom departments that nobody can afford. We can't afford to rent them, we can't afford to maintain them, and we certainly
can't
afford...
Is there not a place for them? For people,
we can't afford
place,
to build
not,
them.
Is there not a place for... Is there not a place
there
for, 70,000... For people,
70,
who work, for people who work in hospitals, for people who
I'm
work in restaurants,
not,
for single people
have,
who are renters.
Nobody, people
is.
With families don't want apartments. They want front and
know,
back gardens.
People with families
want,
aren't the only people
Colin,
who need accommodation.
Well, the biggest people
in
that are
most
looking for
cases
one or two bedroom
in county
are
Wexford,
housing agencies.
It is cheaper to build a 3-bedroom property than it is to build a 3-bedroomed or 2-bedroomed apartment.
The people
it
who
is
are the
really
biggest.
Significant.
Okay,
The people who are the biggest, have the biggest need for one or two bedroom apartments are our housing agencies, and they're the people that are responsible for housing people who have separated, who have a low income but don't want to live or don't have anybody else
but
to live.
But then we shouldn't there have is a need. One size
there isn't
fits
the same
all,
need.
Honestly.
And Richard is right. There isn't the same need that has been speculated on Dublin, and that's good enough for them, to be quite honest with you.
But Regina,
but we do have all types of all needs in all parts of the country.
But if the fear is that investors are going to be frightened off from getting into the property market and providing people through the private route, there are other factors in there, like construction inflation, like interest rate rises. If you want a reliable investment stream going to people to pay for some of this, can you really rely on the market, or does the state need to front up with the money and make an order as to what kind of properties, like you say, the properties it wants, and get people to build to order instead of relying on what investment funds want to build?
So you see, I don't agree with the does the state need to. The state already is. The 4 billion a year, every year in rebuilding Ireland and the programme beforehand, we've already put up our money. The money is going through local authorities, it's going through housing agencies, it's going through direct builds, it's going through the LDA. It's not going half fast enough, and we had some left over last year for all of the reasons that you've talked about, the shortages of skills, the problems
so
within the land.
Why do we have 70,000 planning grants that aren't commencing? What's the problem?
Well, so there's a variety of problems, to be honest with you, and I think we
What's
all
the
know
main
them.
Problem?
So there's a variety of problems. So first of all, cost inflation is absolutely a problem. Second of all, getting access to
we have a
skilled,
process, Regina, that takes it can take 2 years
issue.
To get any housing, any sizable housing development through the process. It only takes 20 weeks to build the actual house. We spend 2 years in the process without any interruptions, but if on board Planola come into play, it now doubles that. And if you go to judicial review, you could be anywhere from 5 to 7 years. Viability is now an issue, because you've gone from where you may have had an affordable development to where we now have to look at
but
the construction
what would you suggest?
Costing.
You suggest we do away with the legal process that allows people
line.
To actually interfere
no. We have a Part A process at county council level, which is very important. They can actually give planning permissions within 8 weeks. The councillors vote on it.
Right.
8 weeks
Regina Doherty,
once it's in compliance with the county development plan.
I just want to come back to the question I asked at the outset, which is the question on day two of this that we still don't have an answer to. The people who are going to be evicted from properties, where are they going to go when they're evicted?
So, in the short term, and obviously it's not going to start for another couple of weeks, we will have the announcement of the 1,500 in situ funding through all of our councils. Richard is right when he suggested that some councils haven't sincerely engaged in the process, even though, and despite being told by the minister, they're now instructed by SI with the 1,500 houses target to engage in that. And then we also have the first refusal. So, I mean, I don't agree with what Mick
houses,
Barry said yesterday, but
just to be clear, 1,500 houses as a national target, is it?
It is, yeah, through the, just for that particular that particular scheme, the tenant in situ scheme.
And,
yeah.
And is it a proposal that if we were to increase the Cui Huna from instead of at 30,000, which is not just enough to cover cost of instruction inflation, it should be increased to 50 to 70,000.
Right, okay. just on that issue about local authorities and the plan for when people are evicted, Richard Boyd-Barr, does any of that
first of all, there is nowhere for them to go, and there hasn't been for some time. Okay, in Dunleary Ratdown, people, families are being sent into hostels in town in pretty appalling conditions. Families are being broken up and people are terrified. So there, if the answer is there's nowhere for them to go, and that's why.
Do you dispute that, Regina Doherty? I'll come back to you, Richard.
No,
Barry.
No, the system is absolutely under pressure. There's no doubt.
So when people are evicted over the between now and June, that's what they're facing. You don't disagree with that?
No, because what I'm saying to you is that what was announced yesterday is that we're putting in the extra measures of the tenant in situ scheme and the first refusal
scheme.
What
if the government not doing?
I interrupted Richard Boyd-Barr.
Well, so let me just finish, sorry, because you did interrupt him to ask me the question. This isn't perfect. But the problem here is that when we sat down and we actually looked at the options, it was the least worst option.
Okay.
I know Richard doesn't think that. But the facts are is that people are leaving the landlord business in their droves, and we need to stop that. And this is part
of
it.
First of all, we're back to Richard Boyd-Barr.
In the current situation, it is immoral to allow families and children to be put into that situation. It's immoral. Okay. Now we have to take emergency measures. Nobody is saying that the eviction ban is going to solve the problem. But you cannot allow it to get worse, and it is going to get very dramatically worse.
I just want to... On
the purchase in situ, which would help move us beyond the current emergency, it has to be comprehensive and it has to be systematic. It can't be left to the discretion of local authorities, or it can't be hemmed in by particular schemes like, oh, well, you're not eligible for social housing because your income is a bit above a threshold, therefore we can't buy. Or, you know, you're too old to get the local authority.
I think, in fairness, the thresholds were increased in the last year, so we shouldn't have that problem. We have increased the threshold significantly.
Oh, it's still
to be fair to the people that are in rental.
You're above the threshold, the new threshold, and they're going to be evicted.
They're
going to be evicted from the home where they live on Friday, even during the eviction ban. Right, that's what's actually going on.
Okay, but then that's not a no-fault eviction.
It is a no-fault eviction. Well, they paid the rent all their lives.
Right now, no-fault evictions are illegal.
No, they're not. The notice to quit expired before the ban was brought in.
Okay, I'm going to go to the listeners here. Leaving current property in a few weeks, landlord's relation selling house, renting here for 28 years, renting overall for 44 years, never fell behind with the rent, says Noel. Houses sold by landlords don't disappear into the ether, says another texter. They're still part of the limited housing supply. Is it, another texter says to 51551, is it really being claimed that feelings being hurt and personality perception is affecting six-figure investment divestment decisions? Even the crypto bros millennials aren't this thin-skinned, says another texter. Late Debate RTE, a tweet in here says the only one demonising landlords are themselves, charging 1,500 quid for studios, 2,000 for the standard one bed. How can you expect any individual that charges a rent of that type, that's Regina Dory, that's directed towards you in particular, a basic human right is that of shelter, and most people in Ireland have to rent because buying is beyond what they can afford, so they have to rent. Given that a very significant proportion of residential properties are owned by corporate investors and investment funds, why is their favourable tax treatment, which could be changed by legislation, not under consideration by the government? It's the politicians being landlords and forgetting to declare that it's giving landlords a bad rep, says another texter. And finally, politicians who are often landlords themselves should get Oscars in the highly skilled art of indignation. We need a renter's revolution. Regina Doherty.
So I'll refer you back to your pensioner that you played your clip on, who isn't a supersonic investor. She just bought a house for her pension. She doesn't need it now, but she's still selling. So why is she selling? She's selling because the narrative around landlords in this country is not pleasant. I don't know whether that was manufactured, whether it was accidental, whether
her pension.
But she's not. She doesn't need to sell it, is what she said, but she is. That was her words.
Either way, we have an environment at the moment in Ireland. Property prices are at a high and people are cashing in.
And if you look at the NEST report that came out, I don't know if it was last month or the month before, the landlords who had either left the market or were planning to leave the market said the main reason that they were going was because they were paying so much tax on their rental income. I don't remember reading a high figure of people saying that it was because they were being demonised by the media or the opposition.
So actually, what landlords forget to tell you an awful lot of the time is that they have 100% mortgage and interest relief. So what you hear in the narrative around tax is the amount of POI that they had to pay on their income at the end of the year. They have 100% mortgage interest relief. There's no other country in Europe offers that, and we certainly don't offer that to our institutional investors. But there does need to be an alignment of the tax treatment. You shouldn't be treating somebody differently because they have 500 apartments versus a lady that has two houses and has been given rental accommodation to somebody for 20 years. There should be a parity in that system, and that's why we need to move to signal that we're going to introduce tax reliefs to keep those private, accidental, very small landlords in the market, because we absolutely need them. This business of having institutional investors coming in and buying up, and they are, right? But there's still a tiny percentage of the people that provide housing from a private rental perspective in the country. And then we don't, please not forget, that the person who's the largest landlord in the country is actually the state through our local authorities.
But, and unfortunately, all of this talk about the homeless figures and about the ban on evictions is a deflection from the actual delivery. We still have no proposal on the table that will deliver new housing on top of the landlord stock that we're worried about a mass exodus. No proposal to speed it up, even though it takes 8 weeks for apartheid current council proposal to build on council lands. It's 8 weeks, and then it takes 20 weeks for the developers to build it. That's 8 weeks plus 20 weeks. We could have a housing stock in 6 months. Change the process.
In my view, on that particular score, I think what we need is a state construction company to marshal the labour and other resources necessary to build on scale. Right. Because
do you trust Irish Water?
No, I don't trust private developers who will only build houses if they can make enough money. And if they can, if you're going to let, I didn't interrupt you. They stopped building when it wasn't profitable for them, and that's why we.
Of course, they did.
10 years. Exactly.
Of course they did, because they weren't going to make any money.
Regina,
they were in the business of making money,
we cannot
Richard.
Depend, exactly. We cannot depend for housing delivery, which is a social and human necessity, on people in
the
country.
So that's why we're not. That's why we have the LDA. That's why we have the
Okay, one voice.
I just want to ask I just want Richard to ask one word. Ask one question. How long would it take to set up a state building company?
Not long.
Oh, Richard,
all right.
Please.
Not long.
Okay, all right, okay, okay, okay.
Any idea?
Okay.
I mean, all we have to do
no, no,
is,
we're gonna leave
is
that.
Get the local authorities to recruit people to build houses.
We can do, hang on a second.
A couple of years ago was get the local authorities to build, and they're still not.
One voice at a time, please.